All right, welcome to Daily Dots on Thursday. I have a lot for you today. I will start with the market, and we'll get into some interesting stuff from the day. Stocks had a good, strong day. NASDAQ and S&P both up about 0.8%. Small caps were up 1.33%, but something that kind of jumped out to me today that I noticed was you do a one-month or a three-month look back, and small caps are actually down on either one of those. In a one-month look back, the S&P is only up 0.3%. The Dow is down on a one-month look back. So started to get some weakness in kind of the more industrial and consumer-facing parts of the market, I would argue. The VIX was down another 4% today. We now have a 12 handle. That's starting to get interesting to me, a little juicy again on the VIX, if you ask me. But commodities were up about 0.5%. Oil was up 2%, so another strong day for oil. I'll have a little more on that here soon. The dollar was up 0.6%. The European Central Bank raised rates again, and that created a kind of a nasty situation that forced some dollar strength on euro weakness. British pound showing up weak. China cut their reserve requirement ratio, which also led to some weakness in the yuan. So the dollar had a lot going for it today and showed some strength. So again, we have this combo, which I explained why I think these move in tandem now on a prior show, but oil up, dollar up, rates up. So to me, that is a very strong vice that's going to squeeze the economy and the financial markets. Sort of just a matter of time, in my view. Natural gas was down a little bit. That was there was a bigger storage build than expected today, so that weighed on natural gas prices a bit. Gold was flat. Uranium up another 3% today. And despite the fact that the market was up almost 1%, NVIDIA was flat on the day and still down on a five-day look back, which is interesting that the supreme leader of the market has shown as much weakness as it has of late. Not like it's falling or collapsing or anything, but even it going sideways here lately is interesting to me. Just like, as I've mentioned now, I think three shows in a row, the strength in utilities is interesting to me, and we had another day. It was the second best performing sector and up over 1% again today. So almost 1.5. So something to continue to keep an eye on. Doesn't really make sense with rates going up. It's kind of a rate proxy. It typically follows bond yields. If bond yields go down, it tends to be good for it. So the fact that it's doing this now, again, just find it interesting. So today, some people might view it as IPO day for ARM. I'll call it exit liquidity day. The folks at SoftBank were able to offload some of their equity onto the market. And naturally, we had a really good day in the market on the same day that we had a big IPO in Wall Street. Not really that surprising to me. They listed a pretty small free float, I think, and held some shares back, probably in part to limit supply and make this look even more attractive, which ended up working because the stock finished up 25% from the IPO price. Maybe it sounds a bit cynical, but to me, the reality is there's some gamesmanship whenever it comes to the way these operate in order to get them to pop on the day that they're released, get a lot of people excited, not to mention get other companies excited to give them a call and ask them if they can take them public. It'll be interesting to see if we can get follow through on a solid day in the equity market today. Whenever we don't have an IPO, tomorrow and then even more so next week. I would not be surprised if we see some weakness now that that's kind of behind us. Retail sales was kind of the big data point for the day. Sort of mixed. If you look at the headline month over month number, it was a beat. It was more than expected. But at the same time, if you look at that, the number for August versus the last few years, it was actually the worst print for August in the last 5 years. And all of last month's retail sales data was revised lower and by a good bit, by like 30%. I don't like to look at the retail sale or the headline retail sales. I like to look at the control group. It strips out a lot of the volatile categories that move up and down a lot to where you lose the signal to noise ratio. Not to mention the control group number is what's used for GDP. and that was up 0.1%, and it was expected to be down 0.1%. So pretty close to being in line, but obviously being that close to flat is very weak by its nature. And if you need proof that this was weak retail sales, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Nowcast, which has gotten a lot of headlines because it hit almost 6% recently, they actually revised it down by 0.7%, all the way down to 4.9% from 5.6, but it was at 5.9 a month ago. And that was all just because the consumer spending data was rough enough for them to revise all their consumer spending extrapolations lower. That's a very useful GDP tracking metric, but early in a quarter, it just extrapolates the early prints of the data. So you can have kind of wild numbers like we had at 5.9%. To me, 4.9 is still wild. I think Wall Street pretty much consensus is about 3% right now. I'm assuming still two handle or three handle, definitely still not a four or five handle. Something else that popped on the screen today was the Shanghai gold premium. Just the premium they're paying for gold in Shanghai versus the kind of normal price we all look at every day. You just kind of keep an eye on that. That like popped up high, kind of like highest it's, or at least tied for the highest it's really ever been on a monthly basis. So for some reason, people are happy to pay a premium for gold in China. So not saying that means anything, but saying I'm going to keep watching it to see if it means something. It kind of makes sense maybe if you want to do a deval that some folks know they better get their hands on some gold, but that's just one thought. One thing's kind of on my mind is when I look out at the next, call it 6 weeks, there's sort of like a four horsemen of catalyst kind of awaiting that could be at least challenging, I'll say. We have the United Auto Workers Union strike, which could start tomorrow, or I mean, call it Monday in reality, I guess, but sounds like so far they're going to do like a tactical strike, a few plants here and there across different companies. So it's not like they're going to shut down operations at all of the union auto manufacturing plants or anything. But still, that's going to take some industrial production offline, which will be a hit to growth. So it's still bad for the economy, even if it's only a little bad. Obviously, we have student loans picking back up next month. Interestingly, ran across a chart that shows retail stock buying now that folks are starting to pay back their student loans is starting to fall. So in the chart has the line of both retail, you know, buying and stock market and how much they're paying on their student loans. And it's a pretty decent correlation. Whenever they had to stop paying their student loans, they started to go out and play with the stock market. And now that they have to go back to paying those loans, they're getting out. But what I will say on that, on the flip side of that, you know, that sounds really bad. They're going to stop buying stocks. But, you know, some of those people probably invested in the stock market, did well, and that helped them pay down a decent chunk of their student loans. Some, you know, the very small, I'm sure, minority that was smart enough to do that. Hey, I'm not paying interest. I'll take the money. I'll go make some money. And then I'll take that, go pay down my principal. And as mentioned yesterday, we did have a big drawdown or a big payment made on principle on these in August, which even led to a budget surplus. So that's two. One, the strike. Two, student loan repayments coming back. That's hundreds of dollars a month for millions of people. That will be a drag on the consumer. The third is a government shutdown. I have no idea if we're going to have a government shutdown. I've seen estimates, you know, everyone from saying it's 25% to 75%. A lot of people saying 50-50 that don't want to take a position. I have no idea at the end of the day, but it seems to me that the folks in the GOP on kind of the right flank are pretty dug in, and the speaker is having a difficult time getting a spending bill through. So my current assumption, at least, is that we will have a shutdown. And obviously a government shutdown is going to be less spending, less fiscal stimulus, less, you know, fiscal impulse. Again, it's a drag on growth. So you have the strike, student loans, and the government shutdown. But we also have in October, California will be paying their income tax bill because they got out of it when everyone else had to pay it in the spring. And as mentioned yesterday, that's 15% of GDP in America is California. And there's a lot of taxes to be paid from that state. So that, along with the government shutdown, would make kind of a double whammy of a fiscal situation where you go from running this massive deficit all year to really tightening up in kind of a 2-3 month window between student loan repayments, the government shutdown, and California taxes. So obviously a couple of those things might not happen. Who knows? Maybe the auto workers come to an agreement before this happens. Maybe Congress decides to fund the government before, you know, the 11th hour. But the other two things we know are definitely happening. So we have two that are definitely happening, two that might. And I think the combination of all four of these things all kind of hitting within a 2-month window, I think is going to end up being significant, especially if we see this oil dollar rate kind of triangle keep moving together on the way up as well. A couple more notes that I noticed today from companies were, yesterday I mentioned American Airlines kind of revised down some of their estimates for how much money they were going to make on the year. Well, Delta followed suit today. And then Disney came out and said, hey, our estimates for Disney Plus subscribers, that's, you know, we're going to have to bring that down, it sounds like. Or there were reports that was going to happen. I shouldn't say they said it yet because I don't think they have, but it sounds like they will. Something I noticed today was China's LNG imports, their liquefied natural gas imports, are starting to perk up all of a sudden. And if you actually look at it kind of on a seasonal chart for this time of year, for kind of mid-September, they've never been higher. So the Chinese are getting back into the game, buying liquefied natural gas. They kind of have been sitting out of that market, not being aggressive. But as we get close to winter, I think it starts to become a big deal for them to kind of plus up on that. And especially coal is getting a little bit lean for parts of Asia again, so they might feel the scramble there. If you get some really cold weather, they're definitely going to need natural gas. They keep adding more and more capacity, so that's something of note that could start to become a pull on LNG prices. Everyone's just going to stare at Europe and assume that they're not going to have that big of a drawdown. I think that might be a bad assumption that if we have a bad enough winter, even Europe is going to go really low on their capacity side. So you could end up, again, kind of we had a couple of years ago where you have bidding wars between Asia and Europe for liquefied natural gas. There's going to be pressure on the U.S. to export as much as possible in that scenario. A couple of things I charted today against just the S&P's market cap that stood out. One was money supply. We're kind of at a level of the stock market versus how much money there is in the economy that we were right before everything got bad in kind of 07, 08. And the same thing before kind of the COVID troubles to hit. So just kind of notable that, I mean, at the end of the day, you need a bunch of money in the system to chase after these stocks. And the fact that that's kind of draining out and that ratio is at a level that typically, you know, is at least a precondition, if not, you know, sufficient to make it happen. But it's part of the kindling that can help start a fire. It's not going to start it itself, but it is some kindling that if there is a match that gets lit, it's something that is notable. And at the moment, at least, I don't think we should, you know, be expecting money supply to take off imminently, even though it has been going up a little bit of late. The other thing I charted against market cap was buybacks. And that's just, no kidding, how much money worth of buybacks have been happening in the market of late. And the same thing, I didn't even realize until I charted it, but buybacks have actually been kind of moving lower of late. And that has been, especially since, you know, 08, that has been a big driver for why the stock market's gone up. It's why the American stock market has done so well against the rest of the world. So seeing buybacks kind of leak lower, especially compared to S&P 500 market cap, just another notable thing and some more kindling for issues in the future. And another thing I did today is I kind of built my own chart that combines the price of oil, the dollar, and 10-year real rates. Basically, all of these things that, in my view, put a lot of pressure on the economy and markets. So I wanted to combine them all, create a combination of all of those, so I could look at that on a chart, see what it's done in the past, look at the rate of change, what that's done in the past, look for like inflections in the market from that, and it's pretty interesting. It's doing it. It is like the same chart as liquidity. as the same chart as my cyclical versus defensive ratio indicator, where it tracked the stock market perfectly, really, for about the last two years, and then about May broke. And so you have liquidity saying stock should be lower, cyclicals versus defensive, at least the way I track it. And this, I call it the pressure index, where you're looking at the impact of the dollar, rates, and oil. So three different indicators that were working really well just stopped working in May, and they all basically tracked each other and suggest that stocks, for whatever reason, since about May, have kind of become a little, they got a little too far over their skis and they need to come back down. So something I just found interesting, and I thought you guys might find interesting as well, but I'm sure you'll see a chart of that before too long. I'll get it out. But that is it for me today. We'll be back tomorrow with the normal show. So no dots tomorrow. Remember that. So you guys will get to hear Zach tomorrow. That's it for me. I hope everyone has a great Friday and then a great weekend. Cheers. And if you need to check out the podcast, remember that you can download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember, investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.